in the gospel is the word of God, and our Lord and Savior is the living word of God, and he is the one that shines. Now, as the Lord was teaching, and when he was explaining the meaning of the law to the people, the Lord's explanation, the Lord's teaching was so different from the traditional teaching of the scribes and Pharisees that some people could have thought, and sadly, some people nowadays think the same, that our Lord and Savior is changing everything. No, he's not changing anything other than wrong understanding of the word of God, and especially hypocrisy. In the verse number 17, we read the words of the Lord, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And he did fulfill the law. At the same time, he was condemned by many of those that claimed to be the teachers of the law. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law." Nothing will be lost till all is fulfilled. But once fulfilled, is it forgotten? No, it's still there. It's still recorded and preserved. It's an amazing thing that in that same law that is so merciless, there is so much mercy for those that desire to obey the law. Oh no, not for those that pretend, not for those that want to teach the others for earthly gain, but for those that see that in spite of their strong desire to fulfill the law, they just cannot. That their fulfillment of the law is only an expression of their desire. And seeing themselves unable to fulfill the law, they will offer the sacrifice and trust in the mercy of the Almighty God. And that was their righteousness, God's righteousness, applied to those that strive to obey the word of God. And then the Lord said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So, who is that whosoever? Is there somebody at least among the millions that were born and lived and died here on this earth, including all the faithful ones, the prophets, the priests, the kings, the slaves, is there one that never broke the least of these commandments? Or who is the one that did break one of these least commandments and was teaching men so, that he would be called the least in the kingdom of heaven? Now first I would like to say that this word does not mean, or these words do not mean, that there will be somebody in heaven, in that everlasting glory and peace and joy forever. There will be someone who is the least one. He is still there, but really there is no joy for him whatsoever, because he is forever marked as the least one, the most unworthy in the kingdom of heaven, who taught men to break some of the Lord's commandments. That would be quite inconsistent with all of the word of God, and especially the New Testament. There is no such a thing. But it means, according to my weak understanding of the scripture, not only this one, but all the rest, that he who will teach the people to break the least of all commandments in the kingdom of heaven, that person will be called the most unworthy one. And I remember how the Lord God said in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 or 4, somewhere there, the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, knowing good and evil," experiencing good and evil, one of us, dividing the earthly creatures from the heavenly creatures. There was one in the kingdom of God who was teaching men to break the least commandment. How many commandments are in the first five books of the scripture? Many. And there are some great ones, like, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your being, everything, with all of your income, This especially was unacceptable to the people that believe that their income is theirs. That's mine. And then the other one, our Lord Jesus called it the same kind of a commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself, as thyself. Amazing, great, glorious commandments. Out of reach to the vain man. The Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill those commandments and to teach the man to do so. But the enemy, when he talked to Eve in the garden, it was one of the least commandments. Abundance of food. There is one tree, a mark of human respect, admiration, and gratitude toward God. No struggle to fulfill that commandment. No difficulty. Just believe the word of God and keep it. But Satan said, it's not sure that you will die. That's one of the least commandments. And we feel that in our hearts. Every time when there is some difficulty, something that the people like to call sacrifice, something that requires some self-denial. Actually, it's not self-denial as much as it is recognition of the God that loves us and cares for us. And so, as soon as Satan managed to put that in human heart and mind, it's not sure that this commandment is so important. We are violating that commandment. Why did the Jews ask the Lord, which is the first and the greatest commandment? Why did they need to know which one is the first and the greatest? Because they would like to neglect the rest of the commandments. Oh, I keep this most important commandment. And nothing else. Which one? Which of the commandments that the Lord God has given? General commandments or particular commandments, like the Lord said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. He didn't say to every Jew, every Israelite in the world, everybody must go to Nineveh. He said only to Jonah. That's particular commandment. Which of all the commandments that we know of, particular, individual, or general, which one is unimportant? Which one is second class? Which one is unworthy of our attention? Or which one would be right and righteous to transgress, to neglect, to violate? None. The greatness of a commandment is reflected in the greatness of Him who gave us the commandment. The least of the commandments, even a dot, a comma, a tiny sound, accent, if intentionally changed to change the meaning of the word of God, is an awful sin. Woe unto us if we do that, because the Lord knows everything. Now there is one that fulfilled all the commandments, and by His example, and by His words, His teaching all the people. This same one has been so meek and humble. He humbled himself to do the will of God, to be lower than the angels that served him and worshipped him. He became lower than they in order to suffer death, to bring life to us if we believe and obey his word. None of the angels has to die. They have no flesh, how can they die? Oh yes, they appear to the people in the flesh, and I would think that when they were in Lot's house, they were eating and drinking, but that flesh was given for that purpose. I don't think they're starving in the kingdom of God, or that they hardly can wait for the lunch to be finished so they can eat and recuperate the strength for the next job. I don't know. God knows the details of the heavenly life, but when you read in the Revelation that there is no more sea, whatever that means, hopefully someday the Lord will provide for the time and understanding of that. But if there is no sea, and if there is no giving birth, and there is no death, obviously the things are very, very different. Whatever they are, the Lord has not prepared something that is not worth of our amazement and admiration. The kingdom of heaven, just compare the condition of our heart when we are doing our own will, when we pay no attention to God's goodness and grace, how miserable, how pitiful that is, how fearful, how bitter, how unworthy of living. And when we worship Him in our hearts, what a change. What a glory to walk in the light of His Word and do His will from the heart and to rejoice in His salvation and to look forward to His majestic coming. And that's both here on this earth, in the same heart, in the same soul. How much greater is the difference between the life on this earth for a short time and the life in blessed and glorious eternity in the presence of our gracious, loving, and mighty Redeemer, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, the Lord said that everyone who shall do that, keep the commandments, and teach the man so, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. How can everyone be called great? I know that there is that story the Lord said that He will gather all the nations and He will put the sheep on the right hand side and the goats on the left hand side and He will say to those on the right hand side, come all you blessed and so on. Well, that's true. I believe that is true. He will do that. But when we stand before the Almighty God, when we are before His judgment, if we are given an opportunity to say something about us, to defend us, or to say, why should the Lord grant us the heavenly kingdom forever and ever and ever? What could we say? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and gave us life, and then from that moment on, we live so faithfully, so wonderfully, serving the Lord, that we surely deserve that glorious eternity. Well, that would be utmost foolishness. What can we say to the Heavenly Father? Never, never, never. We deserve a single gift, a single present, anything from Him. For who has given to God something to put God in debt so that God would require Him back? Nobody. So what is my condition before God? Before I repented, before I turned to the Lord, I deserved hell forever. Ever since I repented and turned to follow the Lord, I never deserved the kingdom of heaven. And the more goodness and mercy He is giving to me, the more I owe to Him. And when I stand before the Lord, I can have only one thing to say. I deserve nothing good. Absolutely nothing. But then something great and wonderful and glorious will happen. This is one of those that the Son of God has redeemed. And because Christ is a great King, everyone that is in His kingdom has a great name, the child of the Heavenly Father, a soul redeemed by the Lamb of God. All those that strive to serve the Lord and witness and reach out and teach the Word of God in purity, in true godliness, will be named great and of a great value, everlasting value in the kingdom of heaven. And all those that follow Satan and in their ignorance or in their corruption or both, strive to show the Word of God in a dark way, contrary to the will of the Lord, to serve human purpose, to be misused and to abuse the souls that follow them, as the Lord Himself said to the scribes and Pharisees. You will pass in your zeal for your teaching, you will pass mountains and seas. You will go far to the end of the earth to convert one of the innocent ones. And if you succeed, you're making worse than yourself. And that's what we read in the next verse. For I say unto you, verse 20, that except your righteousness shall exceed the one of the scribes and Pharisees, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The way of not recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior is not the way into the kingdom of heaven. The way of hypocrisy, dishonesty, the way of putting heavy burdens on the other shoulders, the shoulders of the others around us, and not helping with the little finger. No desire to see the children of God successful, victorious, faithful, comfortable, and comforted in the Word of God is not the way into the heavenly kingdom. What shall we do then? Sincerely and honestly, heartily confess our faults to one another, but above all to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father. Seek His goodness and mercy for me and for all the others. Accept our righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. They did not recognize the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the duty and the calling of the sincere and faithful disciples of the Lord? To proclaim that there is no righteousness but the righteousness of Christ. And if I ever do anything good, that's only because He is working through me. And to Him belong thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory. And all I can offer as my credit in His service is confession of my insufficiency, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings. I'm far from those that confess that they are far beyond the perfection of our blessed Redeemer. This is the passage that I desire to share. But now, just for the clarification of what we have been meditating on and considering, verse 21, we have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, and whosoever shall murder shall be in danger of the judgment. Well, David did. What happened to his judgment? He repented and God forgave him. What is the Lord saying in this verse and in all the verses before? Direction. Our desire, our aiming, our striving. In what direction we are going? This is encouraging us never to believe that we are sufficiently righteous we can get retired. Now we have almost the kingdom of heaven and earth. My soul, thou hast a lot. Eat and drink and be merry for many years. No, that's not Christian life. This life here on earth is a battlefield. This life here on earth is the field of our labor. Our job here on this earth is to do the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we do it heartily, if we do it wholeheartedly, we must confess we are so insufficient. We are so far from what we should be. And yet, the Lord is gracious, loving, merciful, and He is still using His saltiness to somehow counteract the saltlessness of the world around us. And may the Lord bless and multiply His word and give us grace and power to become the living gospel message day by day, and to know we are all insufficient, but God in Christ demonstrated, manifested all sufficiency. We read about Elijah in the Epistle of James. It says that Elijah was a man of like passion like we are. And he prayed, and the rain stopped, and for 3 years and a half, there was no rain. And he prayed again, and God gave rain to the earth. Of course, Elijah, with his prayer, could do nothing if that prayer was not placed in his heart and led through his lips to the Lord by the Spirit of God. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, do not seek what you shall eat and drink. Well, that's the basic, that's what we need every day. And He said, don't worry about that. But ask first the kingdom of heaven. Everything else shall be given to you. The kingdom of heaven is what we need most. Sinners and righteous people eat and drink and live and die. But the kingdom of heaven have only those that seek. Because the Lord said, seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. It's an interesting thing. When we read in the Word of God about our insufficiency, our weakness, our shortcomings, we don't get depressed. We get liberated.